And welcome back to YCSO Behind the Badge. I'm Deputy Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer here at the York County Sheriff's Office. And again, we always like to thank you for taking your time to listen to our podcast and learn a little bit about the hard-working men and women here at the York County Sheriff's Office that serve our citizens each and every day. As always, each and every week, we ask you to go visit our website, yorkcountysheriff.com, because it's got a brand new look. If you haven't gone to look at it just yet, recently, it's new, it's shiny, it's bright, it's blue, it's white, it's yellow, it's crisp, clear, new pictures and everything. We spent 6 months working on it to give us a more modern look. I know people don't go to websites very often anymore about that kind of stuff, but they go to social media pages, which we're on all those too. So if you're on social media, Facebook, X, no longer Twitter, I told myself, in January 2024, I was no longer calling it Twitter. It is now X, and I zeet things, or Twix things. But I think Twix has a copyright on that, so you can't call it Twix. Got to call it zeet. But anyway, sorry, I digress. Go to the website. Sign up for those things called Notify Me Alerts. It's a little button right there. You click on Notify Me Alerts. We'll send you notifications directly to your phone and email, and you can specifically get notifications from the area that you live in. If you know your fire district, like if you live in the Leslie Catawba area, the Leslie Fire District is the thing you need to click on. If you live out in Bullocks Creek, that area, the Bullocks Creek Fire Department is your thing to click on. So if something happens in just your general area, I think one time we had a severe storm up in the Kings Mountain area, and Kings Mountain is one of those areas that you can click on. There was nothing happening in the southeast corner, but there was stuff happening up in the northwest corner, and so we just let folks up in that area know that there was you're going to have some weather trouble up that way. That's why we ask you to sign up for Notify Me Alerts, so you don't miss out on any important information, because, Lieutenant, my next guest, I like to tell people this, that 97% of all Americans have some sort of smartphone device.
Wow.
97%. And now I've been saying it was 70-something percent, but 80, I think the last statistic I saw, more than 80% of people get their news from their mobile device.
I can see that.
So there you go. That's why we're going to start sending you all that information to your phone, because you're going to get the news when the news gets the news. You're going to get the news when the news gets the news, because the news gets their news the same time that I send it out to you. So how about that? You get the news when the news gets the news. So you heard her voice. Today we're bringing in another sheriff's office legend. Yeah, you like that. I call you a legend.
Wow.
She is a legacy deputy, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I am honored to welcome Lieutenant Kelly Lovelace to the podcast.
Good morning, Trent.
I'm happy to be here. How you like that statistic?
Wow. That's amazing, especially coming from a time back in 1992 when I started where there wasn't such a device.
Did you have bag phones?
My mom had a bag phone.
My grandma had a bag phone.
We had pagers.
Pagers.
And had to hunt payphones. You kept a pocket full of dimes or quarters or wherever you were. I think it was a quarter in Fort Mill, and it was a dime everywhere else in the county.
You know, Fort Mill.
Yes.
They do everything a little bit more in Fort Mill.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, Lieutenant Lovelace, thank you for coming to join me on the podcast. I know you said you were going to be nervous, but this is just a conversation between you and I and the people who are listening, all 24 people who listen to our podcast on a regular basis.
Yes,
I think
sir.
It's 24. But a lot of people do listen to the podcast.
Yes.
So before we get into your career here at the Sheriff's Office, your current role is the supervisor lieutenant over our Office of Professional Standards. Give our listeners the Cliff's Notes version of what the Office of Professional Standards is.
Just in a nutshell, what we do is we deal with citizen complaints on our officers, and they can also be internal complaints that may come in. We deal with those, and we investigate them if we have to. Sometimes they're sent back out to the shift supervisors, mm-hmm. whether it be a sergeant or a lieutenant. And the fun part of what we do is actually we recruit people
mm-hmm.
to come into the sheriff's office. We test those people, and we work background investigations on them. So that's part of our hiring process, and we play a big role in that. And that's been a big push that we've been involved in probably for the past year and a half.
For the people who don't really know, I mean, OPS is what television folks say, IA, internal affairs.
Right.
So you're the internal affairs for people who watch a lot of cop TV shows.
Yes,
so.
But thank goodness we don't have to deal with a lot of those internal affairs investigations. Our officers that we bring in and hire, we vet them so well.
Right.
We put them through such a stringent process bringing them here that we don't have that many problems. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. I think you sent me the stuff for our stats for our 2023 annual report. Recently, I think it was just 8 different cases, but like all 8 were just a couple of officers all in the same bunch.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it wasn't like 8 individual officers, like for 8 different investigations, some of those were bunched up into one thing.
They were.
One case. So yes. So it's not like a bunch, where most other agencies may have a bunch.
From an agency our size, I say we do very well with citizen complaints.
Mm-hmm.
The sergeants and the officers on the road and the lieutenants, they deal with most of the complaints, and they're able to satisfy the customer, the contacting person, you know, and take care of it before it gets to us.
So, I mean, people do complain.
Yes, they do. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. You get even if it's you get a ticket, you're going to complain about it. And
right.
If you're not treated with the respect that Sheriff Tolson always asks our deputies to give folks, you're probably going to get complained on.
Yes, sir.
And that's where y'all come in.
Yes. And thankfully so now, much more so than in my days when I was on patrol, we have the body-worn camera systems.
Yeah.
So we can go and investigate or vet that information rather quickly. Mm-hmm. And we've had the occasion to bring people in that had brought complaints against officers and talk with them about what we saw and that sort of thing. And it took care of the problem. You know, a lot of us, when we get in our tempers or when we get upset about something, we mm-hmm. don't realize how we act or what we say.
Right.
So it makes a big difference to have those body-worn cameras.
I know there's a lot of heartburn with the people. You know, when those first came onto the scene, it was like, hey, the South Carolina is making a law. Most everywhere is making a law that everybody has to have body-worn cameras.
Yes.
And there's a lot of heartburn from folks, you know, about, you know, the previous generation of law enforcement officers, because there was the fact that, hey, I'm a police officer. You should take my word.
Right.
But now it's like, you can't do that. So yes. Now you have the video.
Yeah.
And now it's become, all right, these cameras are actually okay.
They really are. They've saved a lot of our officers from undue, you know, investigative stress
mm-hmm.
based off of us viewing the video. And I was one of those officers when they first came out. You know, it was like, okay, Big Brother's going to watch us. They're not trusting us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to hear everything we do and say, and they're going to use it against us. But now that I'm in a different role, they are such a helpful tool.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. That's good. So, you give shout out to your recruiters. You have
yes,
two
sir.
Recruiters that work with you.
They
go out to the recruiting events and such.
They most certainly do. And I'll say on that note that all of our officers and deputies and staff are recruiters for this agency.
True.
The way Sheriff Tolson expects us to treat the public and the way we carry ourselves and the way we talk to people should be recruiting mm-hmm. all the time. But we do have two sergeants
yeah.
that go out to events and go out and meet the public and share information with us. And they are Sergeant Tony Bolden and Sergeant Stephen Dellinger.
Yep, both of them really good guys. And they can tell you anything you need to know about what it would be to take to start a career in law enforcement in general and of course, here at the sheriff's office.
Yes, sir.
And they do a good job. You know, we've talked about this, and I've talked about this in the past, where it's almost like recruiting. I mean, yes, we as everybody here are recruiters for the sheriff's office.
Yes,
but
sir.
Recruiting in law enforcement has become somewhat like I liken it to recruiting for college football. You go out, you go to watch the players play in their game,
right.
And then used to be, hey, you want to come to my school, and or people say, I want to go to your school
right.
to play whatever sport. Let's go college football. It's like, I want to go play at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, I want to play at Clemson. Well, you have to be a certain specific type of person or player to play at Clemson.
Right.
You know, and all these schools will start, you know, recruiting this one player because he's that good of a player.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't take everybody at Clemson University, you know, to play football.
That's right.
So now our recruiters in this day and age of recruiting have to do that. It's like, it's almost like, hey, come to our school. What can we do to get you to come play law enforcement
yes.
football at the sheriff's office?
Yes.
And then you have the problem with once you get them into school or get them here at the sheriff's office, you have the thing called the transfer portal.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
People, you know, we work to really recruit and retain.
We most certainly do.
Good officers here at the sheriff's office.
Yes.
Because like anybody in the transfer portal in college football, you can go to whatever school you want to now. It's like, oh, I don't want to play here no more. I want to go to another school.
Right.
And now it's almost the same thing. The reason I say that is like I've got friends I most recently went to at the academy together, and some of them no longer work for their agencies that they graduated the academy with. They're at other agencies.
Already?
Using the transfer portal.
Wow.
How, like this one's got this, or this one's got this money, or this one's got this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful to say that all the people I went to the academy with are still here with us because Sheriff Tolson and our recruiters, our staff, everybody does a really good job of retaining those folks.
Yes,
kind of like Clemson does with Dabo Sweeney.
Yes, sir.
I don't know.
Well, we don't make promises that we can't keep.
Right.
We don't go out there saying, you know, in 3 years you can be this, or in 4 years you can be flying a helicopter. We don't make those kind of promises.
Yeah.
We stand on our culture here at the sheriff's office, that we do treat each other with respect as well as people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And these are our standards, and we're not going to bend those standards.
Right.
And I think throughout the state, when you hear someone talking about professional law enforcement agencies,
mm-hmm.
and it starts at the top with Sheriff Tolson being willing to get out there in sometimes unfavorable situations and stand up for his officers,
mm-hmm.
his deputies, because he knows that they're doing the right thing. And that's a culture that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, they call us on the phone from New York, and they say, we've been doing some research in that area. I have family that lives in TK or in Smyrna, you know, and I love the area, and I did some research about your agency and watched videos and watched news clips, and you guys have it together. You're somewhere where I want to be.
Awesome. That's the thing. And the sheriff has always said, like, if you do the right thing, I will stand up with you every chance I get to tell you. And but if you do the wrong thing, he will not.
Yes.
He admits, like, if you do something that is completely wrong against the core values of the sheriff's office, which are character, honesty, accountability, integrity, and respect, then we're going to have problems. So that is what, and when he got into office, it's like, those are what we're going to focus on.
Yes.
And from there, that's how you build a culture.
Right. And those are that's the not so fun part of the Office of Professional Standards.
Yeah.
You know, all of us are human. All of us make mistakes or make bad judgments, and sometimes we don't think about the repercussions of those. And those are the situations that come to us that we have to start internal affairs investigations, the things that you see on television. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't run around behind our officers and follow them and stake their houses out and all that stuff that you see.
That's,
you
know, TV.
Yes, that is television. So we don't do those sort of things. But when complaints come to us, we take them very seriously, because being a almost 32-year member of the York County Sheriff's Office, I hold this place in very high esteem, and I expect people coming in behind me to work in the same place, you know, in York County Sheriff's Office, to have the standards that's been set before them. So when those investigations come down, I take them very seriously. Because in law enforcement, you know, once you sully a name of an agency, it falls on everyone from the sheriff on down. So we take those seriously.
Say it louder for people in the back, because we've had our issues of drama in the past.
We most certainly have, and we will again in the future.
Oh,
I mean, it's just
shut your mouth.
Yes, I know. I don't want it. I don't want it, of course. But you know, they come.
Yeah, it's like he sheriff talks about the pendulum.
Yes,
it's either national or local, and everything. We have the pendulum of respect and not respect in people, or the people in the community. Right. You know, their support and respect for law enforcement. Gosh, he will be the first person to tell you that we are very thankful for the respect and support we get from the folks in York County.
Oh yes, York County is the best.
I mean, if you are listening from somewhere else and you're looking to come here, we're not just saying it because we work here. No. It is the truth.
Yes, it is.
So you kind of touched on it just a second ago. 32 years.
Yes, sir.
32 years at the York County Sheriff's
Office. July 1st will be my 32nd year.
Get out of town.
Yes.
That's coming up.
I started July the 1st of 1992.
And I called you a legacy deputy because you were not the first person from your family to work here at the Sheriff's Office, correct?
I am not. I am very proud to say that I am the daughter of Betty Carroll. And she worked here. She started in the 70s as a record clerk. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. As a dispatcher.
Oh.
She started in dispatch. And she moved to records. And then she went to the academy, which is basically unheard.
Yeah, right.
She went from records to the academy and came out as a detective in juvenile sex crimes.
And wow. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, she was the first female lieutenant.
Yes.
In sheriff's office history.
She most certainly was.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yes, sir.
And you are following in her footsteps, Lieutenant.
Well, trying to. I don't know that I'll ever live up to her legacy. She was a groundbreaker. You know, back in those days, she was a groundbreaker. She did a lot of wonderful things. It was Sheriff Pope back then.
Yeah.
Sheriff Pope sent her to every training that he could find.
Awesome.
And, you know, equipped her to be the best that she could be.
Did she influence your decision on becoming a law enforcement officer of sorts? Or did she kind of say, don't do that?
Well, she did and she didn't. Okay. I think she wanted me to follow my dreams, but she was also worried to have her daughter doing this type job.
Right.
She's a very strong woman. Mm-hmm. She raised my sister and I basically alone by herself.
Oh.
And I think she worried that was something that she couldn't control, you know, that I would be out there in situations where she had been, you know, and it was hard for her to deal with that.
Being a good mom, as she's supposed to be.
Yes,
there
of
you
course.
Go. I mean, like, I have the same problems. Like, you know, my daughter works late at her current job, and sometimes it's hard for me to go to bed at night, not knowing until she's in the door, in the house before, you know, because I'm a worrisome dad. So there you go. So 32 years. I have to touch on this just a second. We have a wall down the hall. We call it our history wall. And there's a photograph of you. And you are getting sworn in with several people that are on that wall. One of them's Ray Feaster. He is still currently an SRO.
Yes, he is.
The sheriff's office. And sadly, you are standing near one Brent McCants.
Yes.
I don't want to bring up a sad thing, but no. I mean, but you were here when Brent McCants got sworn in.
Yes, I was. We were hired together.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And sadly, we lost Brent McCants in 1992.
Yes, we did.
After he had was with us, how long? He was with us, like, gosh, I should know this off the top of my head because I do it every year. About 16 months or something like that. Just a few months he had with, and he was killed in the line of duty in a traffic stop.
Yes, so. He was. We were on second.
Sorry.
Excuse me.
Going,
we were on second shift that
the
night.
Podcast.
Yeah, no. We were on second shift that night, and the last time I saw him, one of our dispatchers had locked her keys in her car. And we went out there and were trying to help her get in the car, and we all were joking because the Honda back then had a feature on the door that you couldn't really, it was hard to lock your keys in your car.
Mm.
So we were laughing about that, and we were cutting up, talking about how she was able to lock her keys in the car when it was idiot-proof. You know, we all had a big laugh, and we had a good time, and we went our separate ways. But that was the last time I saw him alive that night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
So you were working that night?
I was working that night. Yes, sir. We were on the same shift together. I had ridden with him. My training officer at the time was on vacation, and Brent and I rode together for a week.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was tragic,
tragic
to say the least. Yeah. I mean, I was 28 years old when I came in law enforcement in 92, so I had some life experience and had some age on me then. So I think had I been 21, it would have been a whole lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
But having been around law enforcement my whole life and, you know, having some life experience, it made it a little bit easier. But that was a very hard time period.
Oh yeah, I mean we celebrate his memory every year, his sacrifice, and we celebrate Mike Doty every year. It's just one of those. It's just tragic.
Yeah, it is.
There's nothing else you can say about it. So 32 years.
Yeah,
32 years. That's a long, long time. You've dealt with, you know, line of duty deaths. What are some of the changes other than, you know, that you've seen over the years, other than the body cameras? We touched on that a little bit. I mean, you talked about the making phone calls and everything. What are some of the big changes that you've seen and over your time?
I think seeing the societal change toward law enforcement, and I know you're probably not talking about that. You're probably talking about technology and all the obvious things that have happened. I mean, we've gone from having to stop at a payphone to having a computer in your pocket where you can look up any law, any statute, any fact that you might need, having constant communication with your supervisors.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things, but I think people's attitude toward law enforcement, and I think maybe we as a profession have done some of that to ourselves.
Mm.
I remember the Rodney King incident and how things kind of swung badly against us, you know, in the perception of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking nationwide. County has almost been an anomaly, if you will, because people support us and trust us. But York County has changed. We have a lot of different people moving in from different areas,
mm-hmm.
and the growth. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine the growth. When I worked patrol in Fort Mill, back from 92 to 96, I mean, where Baxter is was peach farms.
Yeah.
There were ponds and peach farms and peach trees and, you know, all the things. And now we have grown so much in York County.
It's amazing how many of the peach trees have just gone away.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, you know, where the hospital is now, it used to be nothing but peach trees.
Yes, it was beautiful property out there, mm-hmm. you know. And Fort Mill, parts of Fort Mill could be very peaceful, you know. You could go up there and ride a whole 12-hour shift and answer a couple of calls, or you could go up there and things would happen up around the Carowinds Boulevard corridor, you know, and you'd have 20 cars broken into, even back in, you know, 1992.
What?
Yes, but they would steal radios. They would steal tires off of cars and radios out of cars, you know, and it was car lots. It wasn't individuals' homes.
Wow. That's amazing. That still is a problem, people breaking into cars, you know, and it's still a thing we preach every day here almost. Like, hey, lock your car up.
Yes.
Do that kind of stuff. Yes, lock your car, take your valuables inside.
Yeah. I think the professionalism has always been here. We've got more thorough training now.
Mm.
Our techniques and the tools that we wear on our belts. You know, we have trauma kits now for injuries, we have tourniquets, we have tasers,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have a lot of things that weren't available for us before, us before. So, and I think the swing toward having conversations with people.
Mm.
At one time, we would go hands-on. I mean, you know, you would try to get somebody to comply with you if you were on a call, but you'd go hands-on with the people and you'd arrest them. You know, and you would be done with it. You would move on to the next call. But we seem to do a better job now of trying to converse people and find where people are in their situations and trying to help them.
That's awesome.
Versus taking people straight to jail.
Because, I mean, so you never know what people are going through. And it could be just that they're having, you know, like the sheriff told some folks a couple of weeks ago, saying everybody is one bad decision away from becoming a guest at the detention center.
So true.
And so now it's, you know, you trust, like, yeah, you're making a bad decision right now. Let's talk about this and make sure you're not going to be a guest.
Yes.
At the detention center. So
yes, sir.
That's a good point that you make, that used to be like, we've heard stories. People have told me stories about, you would go into a bar out in the middle of nowhere and just walk inside and say, hey, everybody put your guns up on the table, run this and that, whatever else, or they have slapjacks, and it's like if somebody runs their mouth at them, I mean,
right,
you know, that was just no negotiating.
Yes.
Now it's, hey, let's talk about this.
Right.
So that's good. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's nice that we always talk about it. It's like you use this. This podcast. I'm sitting here doing a little mouth thing puppet with my hand. Use your mouth. Use your talk. Use your words before you have to use anything that you're carrying.
Yes.
So that's cool that you brought that up. So.
Yes. My first lieutenant would tell me stories about Doug Taylor. He would tell me about them going into, you know, the bars, like you say, out in the middle of nowhere, and the drunkest guy sitting there at the table, you know, would get pulled up and arrested, and they'd take him to the county jail and fill out a one-line report, and he would sit there until morning, and then he'd get out when he sobered up.
Like Otis from Andy Griffin.
Yes, yes.
Or Otis would bring himself to the jail.
Mm-hmm. He would.
So it's
he'd self-report.
And that so it's cool that that's changed. But being a female in law enforcement, you've also seen a change, I guess. We were talking about it beforehand. It's like, what would you give advice to somebody, anybody really, male or female, wanting to choose a career in law enforcement, but more like females? We're trying to recruit more females here.
Yes.
At the sheriff's office, and there's a reason why we're working on that.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Demographically, we don't seem to be keeping up with some of the other law enforcement agencies in recruiting females.
Mm-hmm.
And I have opined about this, and I think that a lot of them feel safer going to city agencies.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like their districts, their areas of coverage are smaller, and they have more background or more backup. You mm-hmm. know, there are people who are going to be there quicker to back them up. And I think it's a misconception that that a lot of folks have about county police.
Right.
Yes, we do have a lot of territory to cover in our districts.
Yep.
We have more officers now than, of course, we have historically in the past. And we have more tools available to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a female. God made men and women different.
Yeah.
You know, I would not want to go out there and try to wrestle with a 250-pound man, you know. If I had to, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And but God has built us different, and we have different skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of the female officers be very adequate at taking care of themselves and handling calls by their demeanor and the way they talk to people.
Yeah,
you know, that's a difference that I've seen. So if you have the ability to reason with people, and you have the ability to stand your ground, if you will, you know, not be afraid of going in an unknown situation and being able to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
you can do this job.
Yeah.
Women have such a wide area of control that they can deal with and use in this job. You know, if you're a mom and you're running a household and you've got kids and you have to reason with people all day long, you have to reason with repairmen coming in the house. You know, you have the skills to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going out there every day like you see on television and fighting with people.
Yeah.
It's problem solving. You go out there and you meet people sometimes at the worst day of their life, and mm-hmm. you try to reason with them and you try to help them through whatever the issue is immediately, and, you know, show some compassion. And those are all skills that most women have mm-hmm. in abundance.
I've noticed that too. Like, I mean, there was an incident. It's not an incident. My church. It was some gentlemen who came to my church, Neely's Creek, and they were
uh-huh.
out there filming a rap video on the steps. And then they went out into the cemetery and were filming a rap video. And the first, I mean, there was three large men.
Yes.
Who at the time thought were supposed to be on narcotics because they were filming a rap video, and there was some, you know, smoking going on in this video and that. But whatever. But the first officer there, she was there, and she just, of course, they approached her as in, oh, y'all are just out here, you know, we're trying to do this. And then she talked to them, say, hey, look, do what you got to do and leave.
Right.
You're not welcome here. The church doesn't want, I mean, you can't be filming a rap video in the middle of a cemetery.
Right.
Look how silly this is.
Yes.
And then she just talked to them calmly, And then they filmed their last little section of their video, and then they were gone. Right. So, and she's still working with us, you know, today. So she's really good. She's mm-hmm. one of the good ones. So it can be done.
Yes.
It can be done.
I have a funny anecdote for you, Trent. When I was on patrol, it was a Christmas Eve, and we got a call of a drunk driver coming down Highway 72. I was in the area, and I got behind the car, and I followed it a little ways. And I got the gentleman pulled over right where you go on to 901 or Heckle.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped him right there, and he gets out of the car, and Ooh. He gets out of the car, and he gets out of the car. He's at least 6'7", big man, big broad shoulders. Kind of reminded me of Jim Williams.
Oh, man.
And, you know, really, big really big guy, yes. And he was obviously impaired. He reeked of alcohol. He was unsteady on his feet, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm standing there, much thinner than I am today. And I'm talking with him. And I'm thinking, okay, where's my backup? Where's my backup? I know somebody heard me stop this car. Mm-hmm. Where's my backup? So I was, you know, I was a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And no one came in a reasonable amount of time. I said, so I'm going to deal with this. So I told the gentleman, you know, I said, it's Christmas Eve. Where are you going? He said, I'm trying to go see my family. And I said, you know, you can't be driving. You know, your driving ability is impaired, you know. And he said, yes, ma'am, I know that, but I was just trying to get home. And I said, well, sir, for your safety and the public safety, I'm going to have to place you under arrest. And he looks down at me, and I'm like, oh, no, it's getting ready to be ugly. And I look up at him, and I said, sir, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. I can get on the radio, and there'll be a bunch of guys here in just a few minutes, you know, or you can turn around and place your hands behind your back. I said, please turn around and place your hands behind your back. And he did. And I wiped the sweat off of my brow and gave him a seat in the back of the car. But that just shows the reasoning skills.
Yeah.
You know, your ability to reason. He could have squished me, but he didn't because I was able to talk to him and treat him with respect and compassion.
Awesome. That's a good story. I like that. That's I'm imagining it in my mind because at that little intersection right there at that time was probably even less, you know, stuff around because
yeah,
that's just
dark.
I mean, one little gas station there, I think, at the time. Now it's like bank and gas station, da 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 da, all sorts of stuff over there. So
yes, sir.
Well, good. I'm glad that you came in. I know it's your first time on the podcast, and we talked about a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
But I'm about to give you the hardest part of the podcast.
Okay.
Are
I'm
you ready? For,
I yes,
mean,
I am.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
All right. These are the getting to know you rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
What was your first job ever? In life.
Bussing tables at the Branding Iron where my mama was a waitress at night.
If anybody doesn't know where the Branding Iron is, that is a restaurant that is no longer there where the Riverwalk-ish is now. Right there on North Cherry Road, right before you cross over the 21 Bridge going into Fort Mill.
Yes, it used to be the elite restaurant in Rock Hill.
Yeah.
Where everyone, the doctors and the lawyers and the, you know, the business people took everyone. My mom worked there second shift.
Man, my grandma used to take me there and they had the best salad bar. I mean, you would go to any other salad bar, like you'd go to Ryan's, blah, blah, blah. You just have the nice feeding trough, as well I like to call those things. But their salad bar was the best.
Yes.
And they had the best prime rib.
Yes, they
and
did.
The best everything.
Yes.
It's sad that place is gone. It is not even there anymore. I think it burned down.
I think so, yes.
It had, after it was called the Branding Iron, it went into some other iterations, and now it's nothing, just nothing. It's
right.
Just ground, and there's the stuff over there, the Riverwalk stuff. So, wow, that's cool.
Yes. I loved it.
You took me down memory lane. Awesome.
Got to see all kind of different folks in all different kind of situations.
So now the second question is kind of tipping off on that one. What's your favorite food?
It's a meal. Ooh. I like baked ham, macaroni and cheese, green beans. That is my favorite meal.
The meal is all one thing. Baked ham, macaroni, and green beans.
Yes, that's my favorite meal. So I can't give you an individual food. That's a meal.
Well, there you go. That's perfect. Your favorite sports team?
The Gamecocks.
And you let me sit there and talk transfer portal about Clemson this whole time.
That's all right. Clemson is a marvelous team. It really is. I love their coach. I love what they're raising good young men and women there. I'm sure they have women on the support staff team there to help with the players. I love what they're doing there, but I've always been a Gamecock fan. I look really good in burgundy, and I love the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, there you go. We use both. What do you prefer better, mountains or the beach?
I'm a water girl. I love the beach.
Yeah, because it's the beauty of it. We talk about recruiting and bringing people into South Carolina. We always tell folks, like, hey, Rock Hill, York County is 2 to 3 hours away from the mountains, 2 to 3 hours away from the beach, south of a major metropolitan city where you can go see some professional sports, this and that stuff. So this is the place we're talking. If you're listening, this is the place to come because we everything is nearby.
Yes, it is.
So, cool.
Perfect location.
This is hard to say right now because of what what we're going through right now, but do you prefer summer or winter better?
I liked summer most of my life, but as I've gotten older, I'm more like spring and fall.
Ooh,
The extremes really get me now, you know, the cold and the heat.
I should have made the caveat. You can't say spring and fall.
Well, if I had to pick between summer and winter, I'll say summer.
Okay.
Okay. Gosh, Trent. You drive a hard bargain.
I know. Because everybody likes fall and spring because they're just the perfect temperature, perfect everything.
Yes, so it's like summer.
Extreme heat or extreme cold. And when we say extreme cold in South Carolina, we do mean anywhere in the 30 degree range.
Yes.
You know, I would venture out into the 40s too, but people like from up north probably like, 30 degrees, man. 40 degrees, that's spring for people who live up north.
I saw a video where Siberia was like minus 65 degrees Celsius.
I think I saw that too. It's like some of the coldest place in Russia is like the populated city or town in Russia. It's always freezing.
Oh, no.
It's way up there north in the tundra and everything. So last question is, if you weren't in law enforcement, what career would have you chosen?
I wanted to go in the military and become a military police officer. That was my initial dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a home girl, so I like being a little fish in a little pond. So, but I think I would have enjoyed being in the military.
Yeah,
and I could have seen myself making a career out of that.
I tell my kids all the time. I said, I wish I could go back and talk to the 21-year-old Trent and tell him, said either one, stay in the Navy, make your 20 years, and then or get in the reserves or go in the guard and stay in 20 years. We were at the Mike Doty barbecue for Hungry Heroes this past weekend,
right?
And I saw this banner on the wall, said thinking about getting out, and it had all these reasons why you shouldn't. I was like, you know what? If somebody would have showed that to me when I was in the military, I might have reconsidered my decision, because it was like, hey, you got this, you can get this. It's only a short 20 years. 20 years will go by fast. And it's like, man, darn, stupid kid. Stupid 21-year-old Trent.
Yes.
I don't like to say I have regrets in life, but that's probably my biggest regret. Because everything happens for a purpose.
It does. You're exactly right.
But I wish I could have just stayed in. And I would have probably just, I don't know. Wait, that's another podcast for another day.
It most certainly is.
Well, Janet, if you have anything else you want to say before we wrap this up.
I just wish I could convey to all those that are listening what a joy and an honor it's been to have been a part of this agency for the almost 32 years that I've worked here.
Yes, ma'am.
But to have grown up around here. I was a product of a lot of very good influences in my life, from Sheriff Pope, Sheriff Pope's son, from a lot of the deputies that taught me to drive and would take me fishing and hunting. And I mean, it's really been a lifelong experience to be around the York County Sheriff's Office, and we have continued to excel in what the service we bring to the citizens of York County. And if I have anything to do with it, which I still do right now with the hiring process and being involved in the internal affairs process, we are going to keep the level of excellence that we have and have provided for so many years.
Awesome. 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 And I may say one thing. One of my favorite memories of you, and I don't think I've ever told you this, in my late bloomer going to the academy career here, I've been at the sheriff's office 12 years. It'll be 12 mm-hmm. years in June.
Yes.
And but I went to go get class one certified. And one of my most favorite memories was when we were at firearms training that week, and you were one of the instructors, mm-hmm. and it was just so nice to see you there. It was like, what a, oh, it's such a familiar face. It's just like seeing, you know, like, it's just, it was, that was one of the highlights of my time down there, is to have you there.
I'm glad.
And just showing up for firearms training, and it's like, hey, here are all your instructors. He's like, oh, Kelly, let me give you a hug. Can I give you a hug? I know.
That always makes it nice to go down there wonderful. And know someone in the class.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. That's one of my favorite memories
yes.
of being down there. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you planned that or not, but no, it was wonderful.
Not at all.
Because Charlie Threat sent a text to us earlier that's like, hey, you know, good luck on firearms. One of your instructors is going to be down there. It's like, didn't he say he or she? He said, you know, whatever. They hold your career in your hands. I'm like, what are you talking about? I
don't know. He's so dramatic. I love it. Yeah. Yes.
Because your OPS, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's been a joy being a part of that as well for so many years. I started, didn't do so well right out the gate when we went down to qualify when I was first hired. And I had Al Crawford, he was a firearms instructor at the time, and he took me down there and kind of chewed on me a little bit. And the next thing you know, I was going to the academy and getting certified as a firearms instructor. And it was either 95 or 96, and wow. I've been a firearms instructor ever since.
It's one of the things I'd like to do if I have the opportunity.
Yes.
Being the PO, I don't have very many opportunities to go do cool things.
Right.
But, I mean,
yeah, you know, do.
Secondary duties. But yeah. Anyway, right. But anyway, yes. One of these days I might get the talk gradient and yes. letting me go down there. Uh-huh. But anyway, thank you again for
yes,
being
sir.
A part of the podcast. Super informative, and I know you were nervous, but you did wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, folks, one last thing. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, tell people about the podcast. That's not talk. Do the whole social media thing. Share it up and do that kind of stuff. But also, please go talk to somebody face-to-face and say, hey, have you heard that the Sheriff's Office, York County Sheriff's Office, has a podcast? You should go listen to it. It's on all the podcasting services. The big ones are Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can go listen to it there while you're riding down the road. It's very interesting, and you can learn a little bit about what we do here and all the men and women and what the great work they do here at the Sheriff's Office. And you could also keep up with what all is going on at the YCSO via our website. We talked about it at the beginning of it, YorkCountySheriff.com, and follow us on all of our social media pages. Thank you again for listening to this week's edition of YCSO Behind the Badge.